5 in your Bible, please, with me. While you're turning there, let me mention this. Tonight is a very special service at Faith Baptist Church, beginning at 6 o'clock. It is a teen takeover service. Now, those who were at the last one several months ago loved it. So if you weren't there, you need to be here tonight. That is where our teenagers, where's Pastor Scott? Is he here? Oh, he's in junior church. Okay. That is where our teenagers, they run the whole service, okay, under the careful direction of Pastor Scotty Thompson. But it is an opportunity for our young people not only to serve, but to learn things about ministry. One of the great burdens that I have is to pass on the truth and the practical knowledge to the next generation, because that is the future church. We cannot afford to fumble the ball. That's why I'm big on education. That's why I like to go teach in Bible colleges. I teach at Indiana Baptist College one morning per week when the semester starts. That's why I like to teach at the seminary in Pensacola, because I firmly believe in the importance of passing on both the theology and the practice to the next generation. And I'm grateful that I grew up in a church, the Fourth Baptist Church in Minneapolis, where those opportunities were given me as a young person to learn ministry and to grow rapidly, and so we want to replicate the same thing here. So what I'm saying to you is this: don't miss tonight. Now, also tonight, we have a children's play, is that correct? Okay, yes, okay, thank you, I appreciate that. Yes, we have a children's play tonight in conjunction with the teen takeover service, so you do not want to miss this. I know that our young people have worked very hard on this. You're going to have a grand time tonight, as will I. James chapter 5 in your Bible, James chapter 5. Have you ever had, and don't raise your hand because I know you have, but I have to introduce the topic some way. And when I ask you a question, that's a really good method of getting your attention. Have you ever had or made a knee-jerk reaction? A knee-jerk reaction. I have many, when I was thinking about this in preparation for the sermon, I have many knee-jerk reactions in my life. For example, if I'm riding somewhere in the car and someone else is driving, now I'm not going to say who, because I don't want to stir up some marriage problem. But if I'm riding in the car and someone else is driving, and there's one of those near misses. Anyone been in a near miss? Don't you? Where your heart starts pounding. Does everyone know what I'm talking about? And your breath goes out of your lungs, and you're overtaken with a moment of fear. Do you want to see my knee-jerk reaction? My immediate knee-jerk reaction to that is this. Now, for those who are listening, I just genuflected the cross. I just genuflected the wrong. You say, Pastor Monty, you're a Baptist preacher. Well, I need to hedge my bets just a little bit, okay? I'm just covering all the bases, folks. I'm just covering all the bases. Really, somehow, a long time ago, I just started doing that to be funny, and now it actually is this knee-jerk reaction. It's almost an automatic reaction. And by the way, that reaction is a whole lot better than a lot of other things. Let's move on. Okay, so the Bible describes knee-jerk reactions. Look at what it says in verse 13. Look at what it says. Is any among you afflicted? Okay, what is the proper knee-jerk reaction? Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Now, my focus this morning is going to be on prayer for affliction. But he gives another scenario in the same verse, another possible scenario. Is any merry? In other words, are you happy? Then let him sing psalms. By the way, that's beautiful. The person with a happy heart should express that, but sing it with the voice of God in the words of God. How many of you love good gospel music? Do you love it? I love good gospel music. I enjoy singing that way. And when I'm very, very happy, there are certain songs that I sing. By the way, in the darkness of night, when something bad has happened or negative circumstances have come, God's given me a song to sing. That song is Always Great Is Thy Faithfulness. And it's amazing, because I don't intentionally sing that song, but under a time of stress, it is my song knee-jerk reaction, and I sing the words to the song, Great Is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. That's a good knee-jerk reaction. Sometimes when, you know, I had this song this year. I had this song got stuck in my head. Anyone ever have that happen? Do you know what song it was? I think I told you this. It was this song. It got stuck in my head, and it drives me crazy. Up on the housetop, reindeer. It did. I heard that at Christmas, and it has haunted me this entire year. That's not a spiritual knee-jerk reaction. I'm about to pull my hair out with that one. But a knee-jerk reaction, so he says in verse 13, is any among you afflicted? The reaction, the proper reaction, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. I'll explain all of this. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Notice, by the way, it is the prayer, not the oil. It is the faith, not the oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. According to this passage in James, and this is not the only part of the book of James that addresses the issue of prayer, prayer is always our first and best reaction. Prayer is always our first and best reaction. He gives several scenarios, and one of them being, if you're happy, you should sing psalms. The other day, I was up preaching in Michigan, and in Michigan, at Frankenmuth, Michigan, all through the weekday, on weekday evenings, they have a polka band. How many love polka music? Look at this, and that was a two-hand love polka music. You've got the glory. This is wonderful. I love polka music. I love polka music, okay? And so every year when I go up there to preach at that church, I sit there on the square and just listen to polka. The words of polka music are incredibly deep. I enjoy that. They have deep words. I don't want her, you can have her. She's too fat for me. She's too fat for me. She's too... And by the way, I can say things about fat because fat people are allowed to fat shame. Skinny people, stop it. Someone comes up to me and says this. Pastor Monty, I'm skinny and I've been trying to gain weight my whole life and I just can't gain any weight. If you do that to me, I'm going to slap you. I have no interest in hearing from people like you. Go crawl in a hole somewhere. But if we're happy, we're supposed to sing. But if we're afflicted and if we are sick, we are supposed to pray. But I notice something in this passage. I want you to see this. There really are three different levels of prayer related directly to prayer for the sick. I don't know, probably two or three years ago, I was in a pastor's meeting. And a pastor stood up and he decried the fact. And you know, sometimes pastors just look for something to decry. He decried the fact that 99% of my prayer list is praying for sick people. Ladies and gentlemen, not only are we encouraged to pray when we have a physical illness, but we are commanded to pray for a physical illness. And by the way, that is something that really hits home. Because everyone in this room knows that if you lose your health, you've lost it all. I was reading an article this week in the news about a billionaire who died in his mid-70s. I forget his name and what he did to make his billions, but he died in his mid-70s. He would have given every penny of his wealth if he could have had his health. And so health is really a key issue. And the Lord remembers our frame. He knows that we are but dust. And so it is legitimate to have concerns for prayer in regard to our health. But I do think this. I think the book of James gives us three levels, if you will, or three emphases of prayer in relationship to personal illness or to the illness of another person. And those three levels of prayer help us to know what we should do in relationship to this. So let me give them to you quickly. Number one, level one is what I call personal prayer. Now look at verse number 13 again. Look closely at it. The Bible says, is any of you afflicted? Let him pray. Now, who is the him? The him in that verse is the individual who is afflicted. To be afflicted is kind of a general term that can either mean an illness of the body, or an illness of the mind. Now, of course, the mind or the brain is part of the body, but sometimes we call that an illness of the soul, depression, anxiety, those kind of things. And it says, when a person is afflicted in some physical manner, and there is, by the way, a physical connection between anxiety and depression. You cannot deny that. There is. Now, there are other components as well. I don't have time to get into all of that. But whatever the affliction is, the first level of prayer, this might surprise you, is I pray for myself. Look at the verse again. It really isn't an option. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. My response or my reaction to affliction, to illness of my body or my mind, should immediately be praying for myself. I want everyone to look this way. It is not selfish to pray for yourself. When you pray for yourself, by the way, Jesus prayed for himself. Look at his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he gives us the great example. Some people, well, Pastor Monty, you know, I'm just so humble, I'm not going to pray for any of my needs, but I'll pray for everyone else. You need to pray for your needs. God puts needs in our lives so that we learn how to depend upon him. That is part of the reason for this. And our dependence on him is learning how to communicate with him in the school of prayer. And there are times when I face an affliction, whether it be a physical illness, whether it be depression, whether it be anxiety, whatever it may be. There are times when I face that my very best and first reaction should be, I am going to ask God for things for myself. There is nothing wrong with that. By the way, take care of yourself before you take care of others. I've been in this month on multiple flights all over the place. I'm tired of flying. It's tiresome. But I do get a lot of study done on planes and a lot of listening done on planes. But one thing they always make you sit through is that little speech, you know, about buckling your seatbelt. Isn't it amazing how few people know how to buckle their seatbelt? They just remind us that you insert the strap into the metal buckle and then pull tight. Those are the exact words. But there's another thing that happens. That thing that drops down, the oxygen mask. Has anyone ever been on an airplane where that happened? Anyone? I'm not seeing one hand. Not one hand. Can I tell you something? That's good. Pastor Monty, what do you do if one of those things falls out of the ceiling? Can I tell you what you do? Freak out! Because that's what everybody around you is going to be doing. But the instructions are to remain calm. By the way, don't take in deep breaths and hog all the air. Remain calm. Remain calm. And then listen to the instructions. Put the mask over your face, what? Before helping others. Okay? There is a genuine point in life where you need at times to take care of yourself, and that includes in prayer, where you need to spend focused time praying over issues that you have, whether they be physical or mental, over problems that you have. Say, we're disappointed this morning. I know the crowd's a little down as far as you're not down in numbers, but you're down mentally. Pastor Marty, why are we down mentally? Because Andrew Luck resigned. We're out of luck. I love my church because you think I'm funny. We're out of luck. Dumb out of luck, as my mother would say. And I thought that was shameful when people booed him. I don't like, by the way, never do that. Well, Pastor, I just disagreed. Would you grow up? Okay, here is the level of respect that I have for Mr. Luck. I hate that he can't be our quarterback going forward, though I don't follow it in intensely carefully. But here is what I will say. He came to a point in his life where he understood that he had to make decisions for himself that would affect his family. He came to that point in life. He recognized that he had gone down this particular road as far as he could possibly go, and that to continue to go down that road would be deleterious to himself and to his family. It would be harmful physically. It could be harmful mentally. He came to that conclusion, and he made a decision. And yes, we have some disappointment about that, but he did make a decision for himself first. You should be willing to take care of yourself as if you are someone someone for whom you're responsible for caring, and that includes focusing sometimes on personal prayer. I think personal prayer, when I pray for a need that I have myself, an affliction I have myself, that is the first line of defense in prayer, and frankly, folks, sometimes that's all that's needed. Sometimes folks make prayer requests and they ask for a secret prayer request or an unspoken prayer request. That's totally appropriate. That's fine. But I should be praying about those things in specific at home. And there are certain things that I can pour out to the Lord that I would never pour out, even in front of just a handful of my closest friends. I may not want to pour those out, but I can pour them out in the privacy of prayer to God, and I can say, God, I need you. By the way, when my knee-jerk reaction to affliction or illness, when my knee-jerk reaction is prayer, that knee-jerk reaction is a preventative to other actions that I could take in the flesh. For example, when I get bad news, a diagnosis, or I just get down physically or mentally, if I turn to prayer, it focuses my mental energies in a way that is positive and not negative. Sometimes negative things happen. We view them as negative. And I don't know, as pastor, how many times I've had people say, Pastor Monty, I don't know why God did this to me. Okay, number one, maybe he didn't. Now, it is certain in his sovereignty that he allows things to happen. But I want to take God's side for a moment in this. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 13. I want you to see something interesting. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Sometimes we blame God where God is not to be blamed. Luke chapter 13. Look with me at verse number 10. Luke 13, verse 10. The Bible says, and he, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. We would call her handicapped or crippled. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her. Now this is in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He has just been teaching. This lady comes in all buckled over. She can't hardly move. Maybe she was carried in. We don't know all of the details. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, stood up straight, and then she glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and in them therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord, this is Jesus, the Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, an ethnic Jew, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, note these words, whom Satan hath bound. Does everybody see that? She had an infirmity that was a handicap that was crippling. We don't know exactly what that was. Bible commentators speculate. But it's interesting that Jesus sources this crippling handicap in Satan. And he says, Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Look at me, ladies and gentlemen. Not every affliction comes from God. Do I have another example in the Bible? I do. A whole book of the Bible, the book of Job. The book of Job gives us this little behind-the-scenes look when Satan comes and appears before the Lord, and he says, the only reason Job loves you is because you've been so good to him. Take away your goodness from him. Take away the hedge of protection, and Job's going to curse you to your face. And God, having confidence in Job, said, no, I'll take away the hedge of protection. You can go ahead and do whatever you think needs to be done. Do what you need to do, he says to Satan. And then Satan afflicted Job like nobody in human history. And yet at the end of that affliction, Job said these words, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Ladies and gentlemen, the first type of prayer is personal prayer. And if we don't pray when we have a personal crisis, it can result sometimes in anger with God. Another wrong reaction that can come about is cynicism about life. Kind of throw in the towel. Oh, I'm just going to quit. Nothing means anything anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul said this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith right up to the bitter end. There is a purpose, if only for the sake of your Christian testimony. So prayer helps to fend off those wrong reactions, and this is level one prayer. It is personal prayer. Now let us consider level two prayer. Level two prayer. We're back now in the book of James, James chapter 5. What is level two? Level two prayer is found in verse number 16. Confess your faults. By the way, notice the Bible says the word faults and not sins. Confess your faults one to another. There's nothing of the Roman Catholic confessional found in this verse. Confess your faults one to another. And notice this, and another command, by the way, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. There is, first of all, personal prayer. Secondly, there is plural prayer. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. Now, if you're on our prayer request email list, or if you pick up on Wednesday nights our prayer bulletin, you will see many, many prayers because of physical affliction. There is nothing wrong with that. In fact, there is everything right with that, that we be a praying church on our knees, asking God on behalf of our brothers and sisters for personal healing. And the verse there doesn't give an option. Now, for some, sometimes you can pray for yourself and that's enough. But level two is this. I'm going to introduce this need, this concern, this physical problem. I'm going to introduce this to my congregation, my brother and sisters in Christ. We're going to put this out on email. We're going to put it in the prayer list. I'm going to let people know because I want somebody praying for me. I had something humorous a couple of weeks ago happen. I asked someone if I could put something out on an illness situation. I said, can I put it out on prayer? I like to ask you first because some people are more private and don't want all of that out there. But I asked this person. The person looked at me and said, hey, said, well, of course. He said, I want all those old ladies praying for me because they know how to pray. Amen. Amen. And by the way, old ladies, I don't think we have one of those in this church, by the way. I don't think we have just spiritually mature people. You like that, right, Claire? Claire, should I use the terminology spiritually ripe people? Maybe not, because ripe is one step from rotten. But anyway, okay, so I love the fact that we have in this church a group of people who take that prayer list and genuinely pray. We're to pray for one another that we may be healed. Do you know one of the biggest blessings I have is in my ministry? You might think this is silly, but it's one of the biggest blessings I have. Monday morning. The old preacher joke is, yeah, the pastor in his mind, he resigns every Monday morning. That's never been my thought, but yeah, he's discouraged, he resigns every Monday morning. Every once in a while, I come up here to the church for something on Monday morning or drive by the church early. And there are three or four, sometimes five cars parked out in the front lot. Who in the world, Pastor Monty, is at the church on a Monday morning? Didn't they get enough on Sunday? May I tell you who's here at the church on a Monday morning? A group of ladies who pray. That's who's here. And you know who you are in this auditorium. And that, the reality of that, that you're praying for needs of members, needs of the church, that you're praying for your pastor, that reality is not lost on me. That is plural prayer. There is personal prayer, there is plural prayer. Jesus, as our intercessor in John 17, he gives the great example of that. It is specifically in this passage applied to a physical problem, so it is right to pray for others. By the way, praying for others, it's not just that your prayer on their behalf will be answered. It's interesting what the Bible says in Job 42, verse 10. Job 42, 10 says this, God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. When I pray for someone else, God meets needs in my own life. God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friend. Psalm 35, verse 13. David there was praying for his enemies. And the Bible says that David's prayer for his enemies returned to his own bosom, and he got the blessing. There is both a blessing in praying for someone that the Lord will heal them, and there's a blessing that I get for the activity of prayer. That is why plural prayer is so important. So personal prayer when I pray for myself. Plural prayer when I engage other Christians to pray for me. Then there is a third level, and this is interesting. I'm going to call this pastoral prayer. Look at verse number 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Pastor, what in the world does that mean? I think that that is level three praying. I think that that is for serious matters where an individual definitely needs a higher, if I may use this word, a higher level of prayer. This is certainly a unique prayer action. Now, I've heard people say, well, you know, Pastor Monty, that kind of thing, anointing someone with oil and having the pastors gather and pray over them. By the way, the word elder means pastor. The word elder means pastor. Pastor Monty, do you have an elder board at Faith Baptist Church? We wouldn't use the word board, but we have elders. We have myself as the senior elder. 1 Timothy 5:17 says there should be a senior elder. Well, are they all equal? No. There is a senior elder. 1 Timothy 5:17 says the teaching and preaching elder is the especial elder. Okay, we're to give double honor to those who labor in the word of God and doctrine. That would be me. The other pastors are assistants. Our system in this church of pastors and deacons is thoroughly biblical. And the idea of an equal elder system is a complete and total denigration of the word of God. It also undermines congregational authority. The ultimate human authority in this room is not the pastor. It is the congregation. You voted me in, and you could vote me out. I feel like I always take a risk when I remind you of that. But let's move on. What is this special prayer? I think it's a time when pastors gather together around someone with a special emphasis and actually take a drop of oil and put it on the head of that person. Preacher, what is that? Is the oil magical oil? I had someone say one time, Pastor Monty, that's just a reference to medicine. No, it isn't, okay? Oil in the Bible is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God lives inside. And the Holy Spirit brings healing. It is not the oil that is the healing agent. But every once in a while, it's good to have a physical object lesson that reminds us of the healing agent. And in very serious cases, an individual can call and ask for the pastors, the elders of the church to come and to lay hands with oil on that person and pray to God for specific healing. Here's the Pastor Monty. I'm going to do that because it's a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. But it is a next level. Do you know why the prayer of faith shall save the sick? But follow me. Remember a few weeks ago when I preached on prayer? We said the attitude is, Lord, thy will be done. For the Christian, entering into eternity in death is the ultimate healing. Now, let us be honest, that's not what we want when we pray for healing. That's not what we want. But we are invited to take our prayer, to ratchet our prayer up a notch in very serious cases by an anointing with oil and a prayer and believing prayer and the uniting of the pastors in believing prayer. And that practice is perfectly acceptable. Pastor, have you done that? On numerous occasions for serious problems, for serious needs. And the people don't always get healed. Don't think that's a guarantee, but it moves prayer up. It says to God, God, we're really serious about this. It says to God, we've run out of human help. It says to God, we're really looking to the Holy Spirit who dwells inside this one who's a believer. We're really looking to him for healing. It says, Lord Jesus, you are the great physician, and I'm going to trust in you. So there are really three levels of prayer, and prayer should be our reaction to sickness and affliction. Level one, personal prayer. Level two, plural prayer. That's what we do most of the time here. And then level three for special situations, pastoral prayer. But here's the key. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do you know, it is not trite, nor is it inaccurate to say, prayer changes things. Prayer moves the hand and heart of God. When we ask anything, John said, when we ask anything, according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And so we're invited to pray. Well, Pastor Bonnie, so-and-so is sick, so I'm just going to pray God's will be done. That should be our heart attitude. But you notice what the Bible says? Pray that they might be healed. Does everybody see that? So it's okay to pray that they might be healed. Pastor Bonnie, so-and-so is in four stage something or other. It's still okay to pray that they might be healed. Notice the word that they might or they may be healed. It is not a guarantee, but the Bible says it is perfectly acceptable for us to pour out in sincerity our desire that that person would be healed. That's perfectly fine by God. Not only is it fine by God, it is a commandment. So we have a long prayer list in our church. Some folks have been on that prayer list for months. Pastor Monty, how should I pray for so-and-so? The Bible answer to that question is to pray for one another that you may be healed. Pastor Monty, what should I pray? Pray for specific healing. Learn to pray for yourself. Learn to pray for others. Learn to seek the prayers of others. And then in special situations, it would be fine to say, Pastor, we'd like a special pastoral prayer. Because fundamentally, prayer is not just an exercise in futility. Prayer changes things and moves the heart and hand of God. Father, we love your word, and we love its practicality. Lord, we love that we are in the word, invited to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find grace to help in time of need. And Father, there are many in our church who are in a time of need, of physical illness. And Father, they need your grace. And Lord, as well, we need to learn the practice of prayer for those who need to see you in a healing touch. I pray, Father, you'll help us today with this lesson to follow you, to obey you, to do those things that will be both uplifting to our brothers and sisters and edifying to ourselves and answered by you as we unite as a great concert in prayer for those who are in very, very serious need. Father, I thank you for the things that you'll do with this message. Make us better, more faithful to the matter of prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Everyone stand together, please, with me.